This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining IDN Guidelines Working Group call on 24th of August 2017. We have Mats, Dennis, Edmund, Pitinan and Sarmat on the call. So over to you, Edmund and Mats.
Thank you, Sarmat. So I had an action point for me, and unfortunately I have not been able to complete that for today. So that was an update of recommendation 5 that we talked about last time. So that has not been completed yet. Okay, Edmund, please elaborate.
So last time when we left off, Sarmat alerted us to an item, which is I think we need to create a report on the comments received and our response to it. We have gone through some of it, but I'm not sure. Perhaps Sarmat can help us a little bit. Is it that we need to produce a report that will need to go to be pushed either alongside or before we put out a final final draft recommendation? And I think last time we said we discussed how we deal with that.
Right. So this is Sarmat. So I guess both ways are possible. I think if we know that we are going to close our discussion soon, we could wait as well. However, we've already, it's already been quite a bit of time since the public comments closed. So the report normally becomes due 1 or 2 weeks after the comments are closed. We've already delayed it for more than, it's almost a couple of months now. So one way to close that report would be to put in at least the discussions we've had, put in those decisions, and for those few points which are not really finalized, for example, the first point regarding the Nick Chilly comment, we can put in a comment like, this is an interesting comment, and IDN Guidelines is working group is considering it, but we don't really state whatever final decision is in that report. It will obviously come out when we finally publish our document. I think what I would suggest is that we've really addressed most of the points. It's only one or two points which are still perhaps not addressed. So maybe if we can close that report and publish it, and the gap which is left, we can obviously address it when we publish the final document. So that would be my suggestion, rather than delaying a report, the staff report, for another month or so. But again, other possibility also exists if you think that we must accurately document all our discussion in that report. Thank you.
Yes. My point of view is that we should probably focus on the report to make sure that we cover everything there, and that we have an answer on those, just as Sarmat suggests. Before we do that, we should just make sure that we have more parts that in the document that we should look at. I think we have gone through all of it, haven't we? Or are there any more open kind of open issues?
There are only one or two open issues. Otherwise, we have generally discussed things. So we can close the report, most of it at least.
So Maybe we should go back to the comments and try to work through the comments and create some kind of text. So yes,
Edmund please. Hands up, and then I'd like to come in as well.
Yes, please, Edmund.
I'm not sure whether we, on this particular meeting, we need to go back. I wonder if there is already a, Samad, you already have a document, and we can now try to finalize it, starting now, or did you need some more time to create the version that you just described, including the couple of open items to put some text in, to have a first full draft so we can consider and push it out.
This is Samad. So yes, what I was also going to suggest was that I, if you all agree with that approach, I can draft an initial response and share with all of you, and then whenever you like, we can bring. Well, maybe in the next meeting or over email, you guys can look at it and suggest any final changes, and perhaps we can finalize it during our next meeting and then publish it, and then we can continue with this document.
You still have your hand up, Samad. We've had a Word document that you have edited, and then we have discussed it. In the other group I'm part of, the Latin Generation panel, we have Google Docs document that the entire group can update. Would that be a better solution?
I'm happy to do that if that's how you would prefer it.
Edmund.
I'm not against Google Docs. I'm not as used to it, especially it's hard to track who edited what over time, but let's try it first and until it gets out of hand.
Yes, I agree with, yes, someone please.
So I was just going to, I guess, say that then what I'm understanding is that I've already summarized the comments, so we'll start from there. I'll put those in the Google comment and also first cut of the response, and then we can all look at it and finalize it, which means that hopefully in next call we should be, you know, is it possible to aim to close that discussion in the next call? Because I have to give the public comment team a timeline on when we are going to publish that report, since the previous timelines already now passed. So it would actually be good to have a possible date, you know, either next meeting, or if you think that may be too soon or short, maybe the meeting after that, but, you know, it would be useful to have a date. Thank you.
I think it sounds too optimistic to finalize it next week, in a week from today. I think we need at least 2 weeks to finalize it. If we work with Google Docs, it is important that all of us don't just do updates into the documents, but make them as proposals. And then we can accept the changes on the meeting. That's my suggestion. What do you think? Okay. Edmund, please.
Yeah, this is Edmund. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'm not as familiar with the Google Doc in terms of commenting and creating parts, but I guess we will figure it out. It's probably good, but it's important. I think what you mentioned is important. Rather than just overwrite and edit into the Google Doc, we should leave a little bit of trail so that people know which text is being proposed.
So what you have to do is that you select proposing instead of editing. And then it comes up as proposed, and everyone can see what has been proposed and by whom. And then we can accept it. We are quite small group. I think it should work. It's the three of us, and then Satish and Carl. Has anyone else been participating the last couple of months? Have I forgotten someone?
The participants.
Yes. So it's 5 plus Ahmad, and I'm not sure if Peterman is planned to do anything. So 6 or maybe 7 people, and I think that we should be able to keep the discipline within that small group. So for the rest of the meeting today, should we then already have summarized the issues? So should we go through the issues and see if there is something that we need to discuss?
I think we probably best is to just continue with this document if that's okay with everybody until I've sort of gone back to, if you're suggesting going back to the other document or you're suggesting continuing with this document.
Well, it was the other document, but okay. Let's continue with it. You want to do a preparation first, is that what you say?
Right, and I think just circulating that over email would be useful because then everybody could just go through it before we come to the meeting, and that way I guess we can probably get into it more quickly.
Okay, so let's do that. So in this document, there is something in the end about EPP, and that's on page 5. Let's scroll down there. We have some questions there.
Mats, I think we were still not done with the recommendations. I think we were still at number 13.
Okay. I thought we were done with all of them.
We were at number 13.
So this is 13. Okay. One quick comment on 13 is that we use an LGR language, disposition. This is not a kind of a general language. Should that be clarified, or should we try to use something which is neutral, or is it okay to have this LGR language? Salman.
Thanks, Matt. So there's some comments on the side, if we can scroll up a bit, which I think need to be addressed. And this summarizing our discussion from our previous meetings on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, way back. So add 13C on a separate recommendation following RISIG stating that TLD registry must publish the variant activation policy in public website. Which something happened. I moved my mouse. I'm sorry. This mouse is strange.
I can scroll up. It's not a problem. Let me scroll up there.
Yes. So this recommendation actually needs some review and an update. Edmund, please.
So in general, I guess one in response to your question about using the LGR language, this particular session, I think it's a bit delicate. So I would propose we use the LGR language and get the reader to understand that if we need to include disposition in the glossary, so kind of so be it, because it's dealing with a bit delicate issue here. I think it might be more clear if we use consistent language with LGR. The second point is I think splitting up into A and B is fine. And I think it will make it clearer and easier. I think last we left it, the main question was, I think some of the comments said we should remove some of the examples and stuff or make it clearer whether they are requirements or just suggestions. I think that's the part we might need to think about. So first of all, I think I'd like to suggest disposition and using the LGR language. Second, A and B is fine. Third, we need to look at the suggestions of what a registry need to do.
Actually, here it talks about A, B, and C. That it could be A, B, and C, or it should be 13, 14, and 15. I suggest that we renumber it when we finalize it. If we keep the LGR language, how should we make it obvious that this position is something which is explained elsewhere? Should we have a footnote or something? Capitalize it? Uh, should we then capitalize all words or that are explained, or should we maybe make them italic, all words that are explained, all terms? There's a risk that people read disposition and non-native speakers, they think, well, this is something I don't understand, and because I don't know English that well, and I just don't understand it. Okay, there's some work to do on this 13 to break it up into three different recommendations. Salman, please.
Thank you. I think Edmund had his hand up briefly. Edmund, would you want to still go before I go in?
I'm good. Why don't you go?
Okay. So I guess my question was that there are suggested 13 A, B, and C. Is that language already okay with everybody, or is that something we want to go and review? So 13 A and B are suggested, and 13 C could be the language which is actually proposed by RYASG Comet 9, which says TLD registry must publish the variant activation policy in its public website. So those are three separate parts of the recommendation. So again, is that okay as text? And then based on that, I guess I have a follow-up comment as well, but let's get your opinion on that first. Thank you.
I think that they look quite fine. Besides the I have a problem with disposition. We could just mark something on disposition and come back later. So put a star or something on disposition, or make it yellow or something, so that we remember that we should do something with it. Otherwise, I'm fine with it. Edmund, please.
I'm sorry, I don't have anything to add. I just want to say that I was distracted briefly here and missed most of what Samad said, so I apologize. I don't know where.
Yeah, Samad stated that there are actually language already for A, B, and C. So, all the three new recommendations replacing 13. So in one comment there is A and B, and in the comment above there is the language that Rysid suggested. The TLD registry.
And they are included in the comments right now, and am I looking at them at this point?
Yes, on the comments on the comment SH6 there is C. And comment SH8 is A and B.
I'm good with A and B. Where do we have C?
Above.
Oh, further
above.
Up. Ah, okay.
SH6. Comment SH6.
Okay, and with that, do we still, one of the discussion we previously had, I wasn't sure whether we completed the discussion, was that in the last iteration we we took some effort to make sure we cover a number of things when a registry wants to, you know, include some way of automatically activating variants, including the ASAC stuff, the user experience document, the issues report from the variant project, and a few things. The question was whether we continue to include that or not.
Ahmad, please.
So there's some additional comment in SH9, which says that we, during that meeting, discussed to revise the text to capture the conservative need, conservatism and need for need-based approach for automatic activation. I also, want to point out that automatic activation actually can also result in, possibly large number of variants if there are variants allowed at multiple levels. So for example, if there are going to be variants at, top level or second level or top level, second level and third level, and they're like three variants each, it ends up having 27 possibilities. So we need to also be mindful of somehow managing that, just to sort of lay that on the table as well. So yes, I think there is probably something about doing this conservatively or not arbitrarily leaving it, to somebody to make that decision. So it really should be motivated by the need rather than just somebody wanting to do it. If somebody is wanting to do it, they can always request for an allocatable label. But automatic activation is, as I said, really should be driven by need. Thank you.
You talked about automatic activation on three levels. The third level is it's in the control of the registrant. So if we assume that we have TLD, variant TLDs, and then variants under those variant TLDs, then the third level, that's in the hand of the registrant. Isn't it?
Well, so, yes, let me just briefly come in. Edmund has his hands up.
Yes.
So, yes, I guess in CCTLD space, actually, sometimes registrants actually registering at third level as well. Thank you.
Right. Edmund, please.
I think that's good. I have a suggestion. I guess Samad, if you would be willing, perhaps, because last time this text, I remember this originally helped draft this. I wonder if Samad, you would be willing to help us draft. Maybe we call it D for now, and potentially making it a footnote for B. What you just mentioned, if that is a possibility.
Sure, it certainly is. And if that's okay, what I'll do is I'll go back to the ESSEC. There is an ESSEC recommendation around this, and I'll use ESSEC, wording similar to ESSEC wording to capture it. And then we can go from there if that's how you would prefer it. Certainly can do that. Thanks.
Edmund, do you still have your hand up? Or you do, but okay. So in the text that we have here in 13B, it says that it's okay to have automatic activation. I hear from you, Samad, that you don't think that is a good idea.
I'm just saying that it's probably not a good idea if it's just arbitrary. It needs to remain conservative because of that possibility of generating just too many variants, and we just need to point that out. I think that's what I'm suggesting. And as I said, there is actually an ESAC recommendation on it, so we can probably just use that and leverage that, just so that when a registry is making that decision, they keep that in mind as well. Just that much. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. My suggestion is then that we elaborate 13B and add that concern into 13B instead of creating a footnote that is kind of outside, because it's probably too important to just put in the footnote. A footnote is something that you don't have to read. You don't have to care about footnotes. Those are extra things that you can ignore. So if it's something that you shouldn't ignore, it should be part of a recommendation. Omar, please.
So just to get some more guidance from all of you on drafting this. That this is normally driven by need, are we then suggesting that that need be documented and therefore it would become a should or a must rather than a may, and would that be okay?
I'm sorry, may or should. The registry may have, I'm not sure what you say.
I'm saying that when they activate some labels, they would need to determine the need, and one option would be to basically request the registry to document that need. Something to that effect, so that it doesn't remain arbitrary anymore.
Okay.
And I was suggesting that that could be a should or a must rather than a may, because if it's a may, then it just remains arbitrary in a sense. So I was just checking whether something like that would be okay when we're drafting this.
I think that sounds good. I have another follow-up on my own comment on footnotes. If people want to cite the recommendations, then footnotes are kind of, in a way, if the footnotes contain important information, then they kind of are outside what you cite. I think that we should have no footnotes if possible. Think about the possibility of have a quote, a verbatim, a recommendation verbatim. Please, Dennis.
Thank you. So, I have to ask and maybe challenge, why do we need a 13B if it's creating such a, we have concerns of registries automatically activating variants. So what's one thing? And I think we had a discussion, and that's because of there are existing registry operators that are already doing this, so we are capturing these guideline because of existing operations. but I would like to have clarification on that one. And also, since we are talking about registry operators arbitrarily activating or allocating as many variants at day one, wouldn't that also apply to 13A? So the registry operator defines the IDN tables and they define which labels are allocatable or not. So limiting to taking the conservative side would not also apply to 13A as well? I mean, if the registry operator is using a reference second level LGR from ICANN, I think they don't have to do anything else, right? Because the LGR from ICANN have taken the conservative approach. But what if a registry operator comes up with its own IDN table by itself and they allocate as many variants as possible? So do we want to guide the registry operators to take into consideration the conservative approach as well?
Yes. Okay. I put myself last in the queue. Edmund.
So, Edmund here. So, I think 13B is important. It's an important use of LGR and variants and you know, so I think it's important to be in there. It's not just documenting in the past, and I think it needs to be useful into the future as well. So I won't rehash many of the discussion, but obviously Chinese and increasingly some discussion about Arabic requiring automatic activation. The second point was about 13A. I think that is in some ways correct, and 13A still is valid. I don't see that going away. But there is somewhere further down, I don't remember exactly, I'm trying to scroll now, there is some discussion about limiting the IDN tables and the policies. I think that already covers, Dennis, you know, some of the concerns that you have. I mean, that not arbitrarily activating all these variants or arbitrarily creating these LGRs that creates all these allocatable variants. So I think the first part of your question, 13B, I'd like to make a strong argument to have it stay. There are important languages that require that functionality in some sense. And the second part is that your second part of your question probably is dealt with further down when we talk about the requirements of the LGR, the table itself.
Well,
thank you, Mats. So I'm going to talk about the second point. Edmund's already talked about the first one. So I would generally, I think, agree with Dennis here, because second-level tables, what we've seen, you know, for example, discussion within the Arabic group, the Task Force for Arabic IDNs, the second-level tables, the community ends up having many more allocatable variants than at the top level. So the general policy seems to be much less conservative as far as labeling allocatable variants are concerned versus blocked, which means that we will end up with a very large number of allocatable variants possibly for second level LGRs. That's something which a review by ICANN or somebody else may not actually want to limit, because that's just generally, you know, a variant, allocatable variant is not something which poses a very, you know, strong or clear security stability issue. unless that allocatable variant actually gets allocated and activated. So there may actually be some, so I'm just thinking along what Dennis was saying, that when we are talking about activation, we have a recommendation which talks about two levels or two different ways of activation. One is activation based on the request of the registrant, and the other is activation automatically by the registry itself. And in both cases, apparently, because both will create eventually more activated labels at the second level. So in both cases, there should be some conservatism which should be undertaken. Obviously, more so for automatic activation, but certainly, you know, if there's a user and which says, you know, allocate me 50 and activate 50 variants. I'm not really sure whether that's something which is advisable, considering there just create so many possibilities for end users and has usability implications. Yes, we may actually want to say something about allo-activated labels per se. And those are two things. So I think what Edmund was saying was limiting the number of allocatable variants, but we are not talking about of that set, how many of those are actually activated. And 13A talks about that, but arbitrarily allows the registrant to activate allocate and activate all the allocatable variants. And that's a question, I guess, should we say anything about that? Thank you.
Yes, I put myself in the queue. First, a comment on the automatic activation. If we look at the registry agreement for the new GTLDs, I don't think that any new GTLD is allowed to have any automatic activation. So the registry agreement sometimes permits variants, not always, but sometimes. And when they do permit variants, they always, I think, forbid automatic activation. So without 13B, I guess that it will remain forbidden to have automatic activation. So what 13B is actually making it more liberal, or will put the pressure on ICANN to change the registry agreement to make it more liberal. So the registries or registry operators will have an argument to say that we want to be able to have automatic activation. When it comes to the number of variants, if we limit, I mean, sometimes some TLDs, they limit the number of variants that you can activate. If we limit the number of allocatable, that it also means that the registrant has less of a choice which variant to activate. And that could decrease the user experience. I think there's a good argument to in 13B to have some kind of caution that this this is something that you should consider. When 13A, it only states that, I mean, if only activated are on the request. I don't see any need to update that. Edmund, please.
Yeah, so I guess just to put it on the record and note, I understand from Matt, from your perspective and perhaps from others' perspective, that the new GTLD agreement doesn't allow automatic activation of variants. I do know and I do support new GTLDs that does that today and have had open conversations with ICANN compliance about it. So just to put it on record, I don't agree that that's what is in the agreement, but we don't need to go into details here. The question about, I guess, whether we should talk a little more in 13A about, you know, limiting or the number of activations by the registrant. I think at this particular point we would be overreaching a little bit. I'm not sure we see that happening or creating any issue operationally or in the wild at this point. And for most of the registries and most of the implementations, that it's generally been taken into consideration, and registrants, if they proactively activate a name, they probably already understand why they're doing it. So as long as the policy for allocatable is sensible, I don't think we need to reach and talk too much about the registry doing further about cautioning or notifying the registrants as they activate the variants. So I guess I don't think we need to add further.
Okay. So Edmund's position is that we don't need to do any update on 13A. I agree on that. Dennis, you think that 13B is not needed? I get confused by the statement by Edmund that new GTLDs are permitted to have automatic activation, because that's not what I read in the registry agreement. That is not what being instructed by ICANN to the RST service provider, DBT service provider. So that's confusing for me. Somebody, could you answer the question? Is automatic activation permitted today?
So I think where the things stand at this time is that in the current contracts, if automated activation is not possible, we actually had a discussion with a couple of registries which wanted it, and basically the discussion suggested that if this is something which is needed, it really needs to be captured through the IDN guidelines, and if then community generally agrees with something like that through IDN guidelines, then obviously the contractual arrangements would need to be updated accordingly.
So what you said, Samad, supports my statement before. So then it will make a difference if we have 13B there or not.
Yes, my understanding, and I could be actually wrong, is that if 13B is put in, automatic activation would be possible for registries. If 13B is not put in, then automatic activation will continue to remain not possible through the GTLD agreement.
Okay. Okay, I think that my position of 13B is that we should elaborate it to and put the cautions that we see of automatic activation to avoid things exploding. I think we are at the top of the hour. Can we ask you, Samad, to create three new recommendations out of 13? We can temporarily call them 13 A, B, and C. If you leave that the 13 as it is, but overstricken, we can see the old text there.
Sure, we'll do that. So just to summarize very quickly, 13A will, B and C, I will start with the language which is already in the comments. And the only change would be in 13B, I will add on some text with a possible should or a must, where if there is automatic activation, the need needs to be defined and the policy needs to remain conservative, referencing to some relevant documents like the ESAC recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, please. This is exactly what we want. Now we are at the top of the hour. As I said, at the start of the meeting, I did not complete my action item for today. So I will do that before next meeting, in well over time so it can be incorporated. And next time we should start working on the answers of the comments, and we should do that then in Google Docs to see if that could be more efficient. Any last comments from anyone? Thank you very much for participating today, and thank you very much, Samad.
Thank you.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye.